We're doing Pasuk Perek Chavav, that's 26, verse 13. And it says, Oma Otzel Shachal Baderech Ari Bein Horchavos. A lazy person says, there is a young lion in the road, a lion between the streets. Now this sounds like it's a terrible, terrible exaggeration. Okay? He's actually it sounds like an exaggeration. It's hard to believe that this would be real. But yet the Pasuk is trying to explain why the guy will not go out and do his work. Like before we said, he won't plow the field, he won't harvest. So we're trying to explain what stops him is this excuse stops him, which means that he really believes that this is an excuse. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It is an excuse which stops him. So the thing is that you see that he actually, because of his laziness, he actually believes this, he could believe this exaggeration. He believes this exaggeration. So the thing is that another question is, if he's a lazy person and it's not excusing himself to other people, it's only to himself, why does he have to excuse himself? Why does he have to have an excuse? Let him just say, I'm not going out. I'm lazy. Or even if he doesn't admit that he's lazy, he's just not going to go out. The answer is that he knows realistically that he should go out. There's a realistic part of the lazy person that tells him he needs food. So therefore, now if he's not going to go out, he can't just not go out. It's his sense of reality. He does have a sense of reality against his emotions. So he has to find an excuse. So he has to distort his sense of reality to be able to stay a lazy person and not go out. That is the consequence of the verse. The consequence of the verse that he has to distort reality to... He believes something that's so false, it's practically impossible, but yet he must give... He must give an excuse to be able not to go out. And so therefore he must believe it. And therefore he distorts the sense of reality. We're doing chapter 20, verse 4. And it says, Mechoref otzel lo yacharosh v'sho'al bakotzev ayin. Because of the cold, a lazy person will not plow, and he seeks in the harvest season, and there is nothing. Okay? The first question I'd like to ask, when is the best time to plow? So we looked up Wiki Answers, and he says that the best time to plow is in the fall. He says you can do it in springtime, But that is not as good as the fall, okay? And in fall already, it's cold. It's not winter, can't plow in the winter, but it is already cold, okay? So because of the cold, a lazy person will not plow. So in other words, this is an excuse why he can't plow. It's too cold outside, all right? That is the first half. Second half of the verse says, and he seeks in the harvest season, and there is nothing. The question is, he didn't plow, so he can't plant, so what is he seeking? In other words, and he seeks means he's seeking that which grows. He's seeking in the harvest season to start harvesting, and there's nothing there. How could he even expect for there's something to be there if he didn't even plow or plant? And in the spring to put in the seeds, to plant. If he didn't do these things, if he didn't even plow, he can't do it. We're going to start over. We're going to start over chapter 20, verse 4, and to explain it. Because it says, because of the cold, the lazy person will not plow, and he seeks in the harvest season, there is nothing. Okay? Cold, we wanted to say before, is an excuse. We want to say now it's not an excuse. Cold represents pain. The lazy person cannot tolerate any pain, and because of pain, he that is the cause which causes him to give excuses. But the cold is not an excuse. The cold is the reason why the lazy person does not get involved, is lazy. The reason why he is lazy is because he can't tolerate any type of pain. And once there is pain in any activity, so he can't do it. In practically every activity, there's a certain amount of pain. So therefore, I mean, if you're a teacher, there's discipline, and there's a lot of other things that is not the actual teaching. And there's a certain amount of pain that you have to go through. So the thing is that is the cause, because the lazy person can't take pain. Now, so therefore, because he can't take pain, he can't give the can't do the work. But now he has a conflict because his sense of reality tells him that he needs the product. So how is he going to get the product? The answer is he turns to some type of like a magical thing, like somehow it will happen. He starts distorting reality and saying that somehow it will happen, that he will get the results. Okay? So, there are sometimes students that don't prepare, and yet they argue about their grade, and they expect it should happen. Somehow it should have happened without putting in the work. So, the thing is that there's a certain... It distorts the mind that you start believing in magic and superstition. Okay? To get results, you start believing in magic and superstition. So that's another... So you see, step by step, how he keeps distorting the mind in different ways to be able to satisfy all aspects of him because of his laziness. Right, we're doing chapter 26, verse 16. And it says, a lazy person is wise in his own eyes more than seven... A lazy person is wiser in his own eyes than seven advisors. Okay? In those days, the kings used to have advisors. And like you see by Achashverosh, there were seven. It seems to be that that was a number, somehow that they used to have seven. Or at least I don't know if it was a rule or not, but he's using that example. Okay? So he holds that he's wiser in his own eyes. Now, how is that possible that he is wiser in his own eyes than seven advisors? Okay? That is the question. How could he fool himself that way? The answer is that if these seven advisors... Let's give an example. A doctor tells you that you need to exercise more. Doctor tells you that you have to go on a diet. Being overweight could cause terrible harm. Now, what he says is, well, first of all, there are doctors... Every once in a while, doctors are wrong. Or there's an advancement in science and they take a new step. And so they say, oh, you see, they're wrong. In other words, they find flimsy excuses. Another possibility is that they could find one person that was overweight and lived to 90. He says, see, yeah, even they don't look at the thousands that die because they're overweight. That they don't look at. They look at that one case. So the thing is that he always finds a way that to beat the authority so that he can stay lazy. I mean, the verses that we've been discussing, the last two verses and this verse, keep showing different aspects of how the lazy person distorts his mind, and so he has to believe that he knows more than the doctor, and he could beat the professionals in the field that they're giving advice, that they have to do something. They can beat the professionals. We're now doing chapter 15, verse 19, and it says, Derech Otzel Kim Suchas Chodek V'Orach Yisharim Salolo. So that means the path of the lazy person is like it's fenced with thorns, but the path of the straight thinker is paved. Okay? Now the question here is, the opposite of lazy is diligent. Why did he suddenly talk about a straight thinker? Okay? The answer is that by us, diligent is a chacham, and if a wise person. And if a wise person sees that he thinks incorrectly, people can't help the way what happened to them in youth. And sometimes they think incorrectly, and they realize that there could be a lot of consequences if you're thinking incorrectly. So he'll straighten his thinking out. So the yosher, or the straight thinker, is a person that is must be diligent. In other words, intelligent type of diligence. Okay, so then, and therefore his road becomes paved. He has a simple road. He thinks very clearly. He has a problem. He works it out and he moves on. But it says the lazy person is fenced with thorns. Fenced means he's trapped, and thorns is pain. He's trapped in a certain type of pain. What is the pain? Well, if you go over the last three verses, first he has to distort reality. Then he's in conflict with reality, so he has to distort reality. Then he's in conflict that he doesn't have the reality. So then he has to think that somehow magically he's going to get this. But he's not going to get it. So when he doesn't get it, and he thinks he should get it, so that is a conflict. He gets angry. And then he has to distort the way he feels about any authority that's going to tell him that he has to do something. Like a dentist says, you have to brush your teeth. So he's going to have to say, yeah, you could live without brushing your teeth, you know what I mean? Somehow, you know what I mean? So they think they could get away. So now all these things are from all different aspects. It's a conflict. These are not only a distortion of the mind, but each one is contradicting the other, and all these different components become one big conflict. So he's trapped in his conflict. He has conflict. It's not only the distortion of reality, and he doesn't get the results, not only that, but he's caught in his own conflicts.
It's getting clear.